next general election. But the Partygate scandal dogged him throughout the visit to India. Shortly before his return to London on Friday, 22nd of April, it emerged that the Metropolitan Police had started to issue fines for another party that he attended. In this case, a garden event on 20th of May 2020. Number 10 Downing Street said Johnson had not been fined for attending the event, though it was impossible to say whether he would be in the future. Opposition party leader said it would be unacceptable for the Prime Minister to hold back information about whether he had been fined ahead of local elections. Labour's deputy leader Angela Rayner said there can be no hiding place for law-breaking, and that includes in Downing Street. Boris Johnson must keep the promise and declare without hesitation if he is given another fine for breaking his own lockdown laws. He has withheld the truth from the British public for far too long. A cabinet source also predicted the local elections on 5th of May could be as dire for the Conservatives as the 2019 European Parliament elections, where the party won their lowest ever share of the vote. Ian Duncan-Smith, a former Tory party leader, said many MPs had not grown any more hostile to Johnson because of the poor handling of the vote about the Prime Minister being investigated for misleading Parliament. However, he told The Guardian, "We'll wait to see what happens at the end of this. The majority of the public are sick and tired of the story. Conservative MPs are sick and tired of the story as well." He said colleagues may decide if it is recoverable. If they reach the decision it's too damaging, then it's over. That balance is just sitting, waiting. I fancy that the local elections and inquiry will put that to rest. Steve Bryan, a former health minister, was also revealed to have told a constituent that a confidence vote in Boris Johnson should take place sooner rather than later. Steve Bryan emailed, "This is not a sustainable situation, and I suspect further fixed penalty notices will follow those issued recently. I will be liaising with senior colleagues to see that the confidence is tested in the period ahead." Robert Largan, the new Tory MP for High Peak in Derbyshire, the 14th most marginal seat in the country, also told constituents he would not defend the indefensible. He said, "We cannot have a situation where it is one rule for politicians and another rule for everyone else. I can assure you that I'm taking the appropriate action to defend integrity in public life." Rory Stewart, a former cabinet minister, also predicted the May elections would demonstrate Boris Johnson has lost his magic and the Conservative MPs will then conclude there is no point staying behind him. Conservative MPs who have submitted letters of no confidence in Boris Johnson felt quietly optimistic that others would follow suit and would be given heart by the likes of senior backbenchers Mark Harper and Steve Baker, calling on the Prime Minister to go in the coming days. One surmised, "They'll just do it quietly or privately, until we're left with these mad people who wouldn't get anything under another regime." Another MP supportive of Boris Johnson admitted, "It's so unpredictable and all seems to have changed again. I've gone from thinking he should be safe to thinking this is it." A Conservative MP who previously kept an open mind about Boris Johnson's future diagnosed the concerns about his political leadership as terminal. Winding up his two-day trip to India, an exasperated Boris Johnson was unable to escape fresh questions about the Partygate row. He was adamant he would still be Prime Minister in October when he hopes a free trade deal with India could be ready to sign, and insisted he was in India to discuss issues of interest to British voters. Going on to highlight cooperation with the Indian government on green energy and defence, he said, "I think what people want in our country is for the government to get on and focus on the issues on which we were elected And that's what we're going to do. And I think they'll be particularly interested in jobs and economic growth in the UK. In an odd outburst, responding to a question about whether he would compare himself to a cat with nine lives, Boris Johnson said, "We had a pretty good kick of the cat yesterday," but quickly added, "Not that I'm in favour of kicking cats."
قضیه فلسطین از یادها نخواهد رفت و شهر مقدس بیت المقدس پایتخت فلسطین باقی خواهد ماند و قبله اول مسلمان ها برای مسلمان ها باقی خواهد ماند.
The issue of occupied Palestine will never be forgotten. The holy city of Beit al-Muqaddas will remain forever the capital of Palestine. And the first Qibla of Muslims will always be there for Muslims. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear listeners, welcome to your own program, A Muslim Lady, where we have been discussing so many various important issues regarding Muslim lady. I hope you have enjoyed all our discussions, and I also hope you will benefit from today's discussions. I am Farman Ali Masumi, and with me in our studios, my wife Raldia Batul Najafi.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inshallah, we are going to discuss a very important issue again regarding Muslim lady, and that is, in a Muslim society, you know, the expectations a Muslim society has from a Muslim lady. Our ladies, our Muslim ladies, they should get the confidence. They should study, they should gain knowledge about these things. They should study these beautiful riwayat and verses of the Holy Quran. Then they can get this confidence within themselves. Another expectation our Muslim society has from a Muslim lady to bring spirituality and mentally peace as being a whole society, you know? I mean, like woman can bring peace and tranquility physically, spiritually, and mentally within her family. Likewise, she can bring this peace and tranquility in the society. Definitely, if she is a great mother, great daughter, great wife, then this peace and tranquility can transform from this family to the society. So our society has these kind of expectations also. But these expectations, when she can fulfill all her duties towards her family, husband, and the most important things is towards her creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Sometimes I give this example, like we have the solar system, yeah, and the sun is playing the main role because of the heat of the sun and the light of the sun and energy of the sun, you know, all the planets are just moving around. So sometimes I just think that, you know, the role of mother or a wife, a Muslim lady in a society, especially in a family, is like a sun, like everyone needs her amazing energy and emotions, you know. And that kindness and soft-heartedness, because if she's on and she's not off, you know, she's fully present there, then everything moves very, you know, politely and with harmony.
Smoothly. And according to the order.
Otherwise, you cannot replace the place and the status of mother or a wife with any other thing. Maybe you have the best cook at your home, maybe you have the best, you know, cleaner, maybe you have the best teacher, but mother is mother, you know, like mother's way of feeding children or babysitter is totally different. Like you can buy anything, but you can't buy that emotions of the mother, you know, that beautiful care and, you know, beautiful love of mother cannot be, you know, buy from anywhere. So therefore, only mother can play that role. And therefore, Islam is very, very stressing a lot that you have to be there. That is your first duty. And after that, yeah, you shouldn't waste your time if your children are grown up. For example, sometimes you don't have children. You know, Allah sometimes gives you very late. So you are in your, for example, late 20s, you married early 20s, and you don't have children, you have done your studies. So why you are just sitting? You have come, serve your society, you know, with so many conditions, definitely, but come. So, but if you have a small kids, children in your home, then you have to look at your, that amazing role like a sun, you know, you are the solar system, mother system, you know, you are running that amazing system by your amazing presence.
If a mother plays her role in her family, definitely we would have a peaceful society. We would not have that much criminals, crimes in the society.
Beautiful.
Because base of all, root of all these crimes, it goes to the love and the respect, you know, the needs spiritually and psychologically they didn't get in their houses. It means their mothers, means, for example, haven't played their role as they should have played. So when we talk about the qualities, about the duties of a mother, a Muslim lady, itself, it shows that a lot of things on the society depends on this.
Exactly. 100%. Absolutely. Therefore, you know, I always say, this vitamins, you know, the family needs from, especially from a mother, vitamin K, the kisses, you know, vitamin H, that hugs, vitamin R, that respect, you know, that beautiful way. So all these vitamins will remain, will become the part of the personality of children till, you know, end of their life. If they are lacking, yeah, in those vitamins, because mother wasn't present and she was so busy in society, very productive. She's the best designer. I've seen some ladies, they are best in their field. They're maybe gold medalists, but they're worse in their house, you know, like the husband is not satisfied at all. The children are saying, we don't like our mother, you know, but the media is praising her, you know, the company is praising her. So what kind of, you know, active society you are? you are not playing your main role. So if you are not giving those vitamins to your family members, that means what? You are just giving to the society abnormal, weak, you know, children, which and those children are not independent because they're always dependent on others. They're always looking for love for those vitamins because they didn't get that respect, you know, from home. So they easily get deceived by a bad company. They go for drugs, as you said, or the criminals. The main reason is that they are not getting enough time, especially from mother's side, because mostly husbands and the fathers, they have quality time. Maybe, you know, duration is less, but they are there in making big decisions. Yeah. But if mother is present there, then, you know, easily you can balance the absence of father because of his main duty, which is earning, you know, that Allah has, you know, given to him on his shoulder, and that he has to do it. And here I have to be present because this is my duty, and Muslim society is expecting from me.
When we speak about the quality time where we spend with our kids in our family, it shows that our Muslim ladies, if they give quality time, they play their role in their families, then definitely husbands also get attracted. They pay attention more to their families, to their children, no matter how much they busy are.
Why? How? I didn't get your point.
Because the need of a man, you know, mentally, physically, and psychologically, it can be fulfilled only within the family system. No matter how busy he is, no matter how many friends he has, in the end of the day, the tranquility he needs, his mind needs, his, you know, spirit needs, it is fulfilled only within the family. That's why if a man sees that he does not get that pills, that vitamins in his home, so he tries to get all the vitamins from different ways, which can harm his family relations, which can in result harm the society. So when a Muslim lady plays her role as a mother, as a wife, in a best way in her family, so there is no need for men to get all these pills and vitamins outside of house.
So she's benefiting her husband too by fulfilling her duties.
Yeah. Her whole Islamic society.
True, it's true.
So this is expectations of Muslim society from a Muslim lady. So we are going to have a short break. Please, listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned. Inshallah, we will come back soon.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, Mr. Masumi, I love to hear about the expectation which me as a Muslim lady, I have from the Muslim society too, because until now, alhamdulillah, we have discussed very, very well about all the expectation which a Muslim society has from us. Yeah. So now, because I'm the part of the society, so my needs, I really want the Muslim society to fulfill my needs, my growth, the skills which Allah has given to me to get very nicely polished. So that would be so nice if we discuss about all the amazing,
the expectations
exactly
a Muslim lady has from a Muslim society.
Yeah, so that
because as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given opportunity to play roles for women and men equally.
Equally.
So definitely a Muslim lady has so many expectations from a Muslim lady.
Yeah. I can be an active member when I get something back, like the parents and the children, you know. If parents are training well their children, then children can respect in back, you know, give
definitely,
back to the parents. So we need, you know, from both side, you know, give and take. So that would be very, very crucial to talk about all this give and take.
And being a Muslim lady, you know the expectations you have from our Muslim societies.
So far, whatever we have discussed, I think we as a Muslim ladies, we need all these reminders. Unfortunately, everything is very clear for us, but still some people are confused and I don't know why they are always thinking that no, you know, maybe Muslim society doesn't want to see us very active in the society, and maybe our opinion, it doesn't have that much value. But by knowing all those amazing models like Lady Hakima, Lady Hamida, Lady Hudaysa, and there are so many others, you know, for me, it's so easy to understand Islam and the expectations of Muslim society by looking at all these heroines of Islam, you know, like, then you know that, oh, wow, such a beautiful status Islam is giving to them. That means Islam wants something very, very crucial from them. So we as a Muslim lady, if we are helping our society in a very productive way, then the society is very, very definitely satisfied by our presence in society. Yeah. So I hope our listeners, they also take so many new points and new perspective in their lives. And inshallah, if the brothers are listening to this show, they can convey all these amazing messages to their sisters and wives and mothers, you know, and students and whoever that look at the beautiful teachings of our religion. Until next time, fi amanillah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. But this waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone. Let us ponder on the words of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, regarding his divinely decreed vicegerent, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. Nobody properly knows Allah except me and Ali. Nobody properly knows me except Allah and Ali. Nobody properly knows Ali except Allah and me.
Bilmesir,
از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant practice.
امامت یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. Stay tuned.
ببین عزیزان، گاهی اگر ما قدر یه نعمت رو ندونیم خوب ازش استفاده نمی‌کنیم.
Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes we are not grateful enough to the blessing of Allah. We become thankful if we are grateful in facing the blessing of Allah. Sheikh As-Saduq narrates a hadith from one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad, stating, Once when Prophet was among his companions, and he in a strange mood repeated Subhanallah 3 times, and then said, Do you know what is coming to you?
Ashab tarsidan, yekesi goft,
Upon hearing this repetition of Subhanallah for 3 times, the companions asked Prophet Muhammad, Are you frightened by what is coming to us, or an ayah is revealed to you? Prophet Muhammad answered, None. The holy month of Allah, the Ramadan, has arrived. This is the main reason for my fascination and a strange feeling. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qomi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio. please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Another Ramadan, another attack on Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. A harsh reminder of the Israeli occupation of this holy land. Built on a foundation of colonial apartheid, the Israeli regime has shown since its inception that peace is the last thing it cares about. Arresting children, firing tear gas and rubber-coated steel bullets at Muslim worshippers, assaulting medical staff and journalists, bombing residential areas, the list goes on and on. All these acts of violence has one message in common. The fate of the Palestinian nation is at the whim of an aggressive regime in the land it has occupied illegally for decades. The possibility of a lasting peace deal seems as far away as ever, and the history of failed negotiations indicates it's basically because Israel prefers the status quo. In fact, Israel has drastically moved away from even the aspiration to make peace. The revealing item of evidence of Israel's rejection of peace is the settlements project. If the regime had really wanted to achieve peace via the Oslo Accords, it would at least have stopped the settlements project at its own initiative. By the same token, the direct negotiations between Mahmoud Abbas and Benjamin Netanyahu in 2010 could have lasted more than 13 days if only the Israelis had agreed to temporarily halt construction of some illegal settlements in exchange for an extra $3 billion package from the U.S.
First of all, it's a violation of international law. Israel, by doing so, they want to create facts on the ground and to prevent the establishment of the Palestinian state and to separate Jerusalem from the rest of the Palestinian territories. It knows that by doing so, it will prevent the creation of a contiguous Palestinian state.
Just a few months ago, former U.S. President Donald Trump said that Netanyahu never wanted peace with the Palestinians. In the heart of the settlements lies the dehumanization of the Palestinian nation,
which allows the Israelis to do whatever they want, no matter how illegal or immoral it might be, from vandalism to settler terrorism. In the past decades, the only encounter between the Israelis and Palestinians has been that of the occupiers, who are armed and violent, and the occupied, who are despairing and deprived of their basic rights. Therefore, the only way the residents of the Gaza Strip and the West Bank can remind people of their existence is active resistance, confronting the brutality of the occupation through military and non-military action.
The problem is that the Israeli deliberate government army violence has been allowed to continue along with settler terrorism, and then you take out a few Palestinian responses and you say condemn those. I would like to see a total condemnation of the violence. We have always condemned violence. We've always said it has to be a nonviolent solution.
Political groups such as Fatah and Hamas have been the building blocks of the resistance against Israel since the late 1950s. Following the Arab failure to stop Israeli aggression against Palestinians, Fatah was established by Yasser Arafat and his friends in 1959 as a national resistance movement. Fatah's retaliatory attacks against Israel helped introduce the Palestinian plight and cause to the international community. But Arafat was later criticized for accepting the failed 1993 Oslo Accords, which politically diminished the resistance while dividing Palestinians. As Fatah's political touch diminished, a new group by the name of Hamas was established in 1987 by Sheikh Ahmed Yassin and other Palestinian figures. Hamas has increasingly become the leading Palestinian force against Israel after its fierce defense of Gaza against the Israeli invasions since 2006. Meanwhile, non-military resistance shapes a great bulk of Palestinian resistance. When Israel began construction of the wall within the West Bank in 2002, the Palestinian anti-apartheid wall campaign was formed in reaction, and Palestinian villages in the path of the wall staged regular non-violent demonstrations. Today, popular committees across the West Bank continue to resist Israel's confiscation of land for the wall and settlements through weekly demonstrations. In 2005, over 170 Palestinian organizations joined together calling for the use of boycott, divestment, and sanctions tactics to bring freedom, equality, and justice to Palestinians, which in the end resulted in the global BDS movement. Palestinian and Israeli prisons have repeatedly gone on hunger strike to protest deplorable prison conditions and Israel's use of administrative detention orders, which allow for the arrest and detention of Palestinians without charge or trial.
This kind of detention is based on a secret file that is shared only between the military commander who issues the orders and the military judge, the judge in the military court, with the prosecution. So the lawyer, the prisoner, they won't be able to see this secret file. They don't know the charges. There are no charges. In short, this kind of detention is arbitrary detention. It lacks the minimum fair trial components of a court. And the prisoners simply want to be released.
Despite their aggressive behavior, the Israelis pretend to be seeking peace in the region, mainly to escape the pressures of peace groups at home and abroad. Every now and then, they used to say that if the Arab states simply recognized them as a normal state in the Middle East, they would feel secure enough to reach accommodations with the Palestinians. But since the normalization of ties with a number of Arab states, the Israeli regime has been pursuing its colonial policies as before. The question is, what shall the Palestinians do when diplomacy seems too impotent to ease their plight?
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, Salamu alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special by IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the social aspect of fasting.
Oh Ramadan, Master Mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Oh Ramadan, Month of Mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today, Thursday, is the 26th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Ordibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book, the Holy Quran. This is chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 35 to 38.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يرسل عليكما شواظ من نار ونحاس فلا تنتصران
There will be sent upon you a flame of fire and smoke, and you will not defend yourselves.
فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ
And when the heaven is split open and becomes rose-colored like oil,
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Resuming the account of the preceding blessed verses regarding some of the incidents that shall occur on the day of resurrection. The blessed verse 37 treats to further depictions of the scenes of resurrection and the manner of attending to records and divine recompense. Thus the blessed is saying that when the heaven is rent asunder and turns rosy like molten oil, horrible incidents shall occur such that no one may bear them. All the blessed Quranic verses concerning resurrection clearly reflect that the present order of the world shall be disturbed on that day and very horribly incidents shall occur throughout the world. We're speaking about social aspect of fasting. Be with us. Ramadan fasting encompasses direction to develop spiritual, moral, and social values. It is the message of equality amongst the individuals of the society. The poor are given attention and benefit from charity and the faithful practice of the concept of neighborhood and hospitality. Apart from helping to achieve purity of body and soul through this process of self-purification, addressing these areas of social significance is bound to help people shed all those things which are not socially desirable. The practice of the concept of neighborhood is equally important. The neighborhood concept ultimately extends to the world and beyond. Muslims cannot consume alcohol and use smoke in any form during the month of Ramadan. Those people who are addicted to such habits, it is the best time for them to quit these habits, which are spoiling their health and wasting their money, which they are restraining themselves from these habits for 1 month. They should continue to do so for the rest of their life. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin as-sa'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about the social effects of fasting. When everybody is expected to endure and to admit the pressures of thirst and hunger throughout the daytime, at times, especially by the end of daytime, as we approach the evening, the dusk, everybody experiences the pressure of thirst or the pressure of hunger. In this connection, we may sense what the poor people experience in their lives. Now we find that other aspects of the Ramadan observances include paying alms to the needy people, being attentive to them, and spreading the tables of iftar for everybody. The least degree is giving iftar receptions to our relatives and to our, for example, neighbors and relatives. And the best type of giving reception of iftar, throughout Ramadan, in the evening, at dusk, of course, is spreading the tables of iftar, the iftar tables for everybody. For the poor and for the rich. For acquaintances and for the strangers, and so on. In this connection, we find that the social aspects or the social benefits of the month of Ramadan has been very clear, such that many police authorities indicated that throughout the month of Ramadan, the rate of crimes come down quite considerably. And this is one of the aspects of the month of Ramadan and observing this religious duty. Thank you.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to
From social benefits of fasting in Ramadan, we reach to strengthening social ties. It is recommended for Muslims to offer iftar, that is the meal for breaking fasting after the sunset for other Muslims. Prophet Muhammad, peace and salutations of Allah be upon him and his pure progeny, says, "Whoever gives iftar to one who is fasting will have a reward like his, without that detracting from the fasting person's reward in the slightest." Do not forget to contact your relatives and friends to wish them a happy Ramadan.
Allah, 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 Subhanallah, walhamdulillah. الحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر سبحان الله والحمد لله لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
Fasting ensures the unity and harmony of society. This is another social effect of the month of Ramadan. Fasting leads to a positive challenge in the attitudes of the believers towards each other. The scene of empathy is invoked, helps the faster understand other people better and make it easier for them to make friends and socialize. The usual activities of Ramadan that are common to all believers, such as fasting during the same month, waiting for the time to break the fast in the evening, congregational prayers, observe in the mosque, and getting up at night to have the pre-dawn meal, sahur, before beginning the fast, all foster the brotherhood and affection among the believers. In particular, the night of power and Eid celebration at the end of Ramadan strengthen the social ties among believers. Allah's Messenger, Muhammad al-Mustafa, peace be upon him, and his family says, the similitude of believers in regard to mutual love, affection, and fellow feeling is that of one body. When any limb aches, the whole body aches because of sleeplessness and fever. Therefore, believers feel themselves to be the limbs of one body, and this feeling strengthens the solidarity and friendship in the community.
We have to come towards the ibadah. We have to strengthen our ibadah. Teach yourself. Train ourselves to get into the ibadah, to feel the ibadah. And I will end with this hadith, hadith Qudsi, where Allah says, كَذَبَ مَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّنِي وَلَمَّا جَنَّ عَلَيْهِ اللَّيْلِ نَامَ عَنِّي. He's a liar, the one who claims that he loves me, but once the night falls, he goes and he falls asleep. Don't you want to spend your nights with the ones that you love? So my dear brothers and sisters, these are some ways that we can take advantage of this holy month, the month of Ramadan. And if we implement these, if we take advantage of the month of Ramadan, we will be much better on the day of Eid. We will have purified our souls and purified our hearts and made ourselves ready to experience the difficulties and the challenges of life ahead of us.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Please keep us in your prayers and du'as. And there is nothing else, just fi amanillah.
جلسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com
www.ibrahim.org/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.